Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
Aldi. Million. Rubli.
Tribe
spoke. Tribe spoke. Tribe
spoke.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor 41 on Survivor Global. I'm your host Shannon Gus, here to discuss episode 2 of the season. I'm really enjoying it. There's definitely a lot to talk about, maybe some questionable things, but I love, you know, getting a bunch of decisions, production decisions, player decisions that we can just break down in every single capacity. And I have such a great guest to do that with this week. I want to welcome in someone who was a super fan and someone who had such a great read on the game. I think we were saying, like, she'd make a good podcaster when she was out on the island. So she also knows a lot about losing votes, which seems to be the theme of the season, maybe the unofficial theme, because there is no theme, but the theme is Survivor 41, you lose your vote. So it's great to have the great Teresa Mafrika here. Teresa, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. I'm really excited to kind of roll my sleeves up and get chatting about this really cool episode.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You're going to explain to us the anxiety that comes with losing a vote, not having
you
a vote.
You have no idea.
Yeah, but Malcolm's okay, because you never voted, right? And I hate to bring this up so early into the podcast, but you went to 2 tribal councils. You voted at neither tribal council. That you got safety from it one time, but then it was a lot. So if anyone can kind of speak to what Xander might be looking at ahead of him, or what people are risking every time they go to the scary summit of Risk and Protect, which now is like an episodic mechanism, like you can explain it to us.
Yes, that's exactly it. I was going to say, at least he got a vote in the first tribal council. So I have a very unique record. I fear for whoever might want to try and repeat it.
Yeah, Chris Noble went home without ever voting, but that was just that one tribal council. Like, you went to 2 tribal councils. It's not a great stat to your name, but it is interesting. It is interesting that happened.
It's an awful one.
At least it's memorable. Like, at least
it's
something.
It's an awful one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot about losing votes today.
It is something, but it's quite interesting just in terms of how that is the most important thing in the game, and you just never get to do it.
Yeah, voting. I mean, you're right. And there's been so much across International Survivor this entire year through this season, Australian Survivor, Survivor South Africa, about paying your vote for things, risking your vote now, your vote being taken away in a challenge as it was in Australian Survivor. And it's like, I feel like we've never done, like, delved into as much like the power of the survivor vote as in this year. And I'm really interested in that because we were talking a bit offline beforehand and you were saying like there's a lot of intrigue around this, and Stephen was saying, oh no, it all's like this is the real survivor economy. And I totally agree that like voting, the only thing that the game affords you is your vote. And that now seems to be like the currency of the game. You can risk it. You can pay it on Immunity Island. It can be taken from you, like the Australian Survivor cast were, I guess, robbed of their currency and challenge. And like, this is the thing that you own that you can then now like use in multidimensional ways in the game. And I think that's fascinating.
And that's the thing, Shannon. The only thing that's missing now, I think, because we've already had an introduction to a stealer vote, is under what conditions that can actually happen. Can a person, you know, maybe in future accumulate other people's votes? Can they barter with their votes in the course of the game? I think it truly, well and truly is the currency within the game. And it's really fascinating to see the kind of direction that production will take that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think like there's also been like a currency exchange put on it. We know like what the exchange rate is because it's basically 6-1. Shot in the dark is one vote for a 1 in 6 chance of an idol. So that's a 6-1 rate for idol to vote. And now Xander doesn't have his vote for the foreseeable future, possibly until the merge. And that's the currency. Like that's how much you pay to possibly have an idol. So it's interesting to see like how the show values that thing.
Definitely. And the players, trust me, Shannon, value it more because they are in the mix of what needs to happen with it. And looking at ways, interesting ways of how to manipulate the direction of the game using that is it really requires some very creative thinking. on the part of the players. But so far, so good. They're delivering, hey?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to ask you before we get into all of this, we're going to be getting into the beware advantage. Advantage in extreme quote marks for me. The beware thing. Beware just that for me. We're going to talk about, obviously, the vote, which has been a little contentious online. Was this a good decision for mainly Evie, who really seemed to be, like, in the pound seats? Talk about the mission. But I wanted to hear from you. I mean, I guess firstly, how are you, Teresa? Like, you know, we talked to you last on your exit interview. Survivor South Africa is over, back to normal life. Like, how are things going?
It's fantastic, Shannon. Going back to normal life, it can never be normal, hey? You're still playing the game post-game, so that's quite interesting. But otherwise, very well. I've just started my third term break, so I'm on holiday for a week, headed to Joburg. But otherwise, happy and consuming as much Survivor as I can.
Yeah, I mean, we love that. It was so good to get you on the season, because I know that you, I mean, on the podcast this season, because and on the season, it was great to have you on the show. But like watching you play and hearing you even in your interview preseason, like we knew you were a really big fan and just saw the game in such a fun way. So really excited to chat to you about it. And I really want to know, like, big picture, what are you thinking 3 hours into this season? Like, are you enjoying it?
I am loving the season. I am loving the characters, that whole idea of how, you know, you do get your typical typecast characters and your Xanders and your JDs, you know, the jocks, the athletes, and then some sterling social players out there. I think the two people that stand out for me so far, Evian and Shan, really enjoying their gameplay and how they've been able to position themselves in their tribes quite early on. And then also some comical players. I think we opened with that in this episode, mm-hmm. Who seem to have not quite a clear grasp of how the game should be going, you know. I think Sarah put it together well in the first episode when she literally said, you know, I think Brad is playing like he's playing in 2000. And it's like she took the words out of my mouth, because that was the initial impression I got of him. So, and I think it's a combination of those things that really make for a good overall production and a good cast. So I'm really enjoying the season.
Yeah, the cast is definitely great. Like, I feel like for Brad, I mean, the Spy Shack, that's 2014 Survivor, but I do think, like, his mistake here is a 2000 level mistake, which is just, like, his misread on Shan. Like, it's not the running through the woods, because we have a two-time Survivor winner who has done that. Someone I think is, like, the best player of all time. But it's really the fact for me that, like, Shad was killing me. I was dying laughing at her facial expressions with what Brad was doing in confessional, but also just, like, around him. And he's not reading how she is picking that up. So that, to me, that's, like, a 2000-level mistake when you are misreading who you think is a key ally so badly.
But it appears that he's misreading everybody. So it's not only just her, but everyone else, where he thinks he can tell her about what the guys are saying, because I'm guessing he must think that she is her number one.
Yes.
Or close enough. And it's so ridiculous. It's very funny to watch. I'm really keen to get a bit more insight into what his actual thinking was around that.
Mm-hmm. He's thinking he watched Survivor Kageyan and that seemed to work for Tony. So that's what it is.
Yes, but he wasn't all chaos.
Yeah, but only Tony can do that. That's what we say. Someone like Chappie, for example, and we've said it so many times, do not replicate this. It will not work for one other human on this earth. Like, that's why, you know, a lot of people have done Spy Shacks, but it does take, like, a Chappie's, a Luke, a Tony. There's, like, a je ne sais quoi, I think, to, like, being able to be this character. And I don't think Brad is that guy, but, I mean, we'll talk about it. We got very little from the other tribes, but even on the small amount we got from Ua, like, Shan is just in it. Like, Shan is connected. She is, like, yeah, Everyone's number one. She has some superpowers on that tribe.
That's the thing, hey. She definitely must have a superpower. Watching how everyone, she's got everyone eating out of her hands, it sort of reminds me from our season of how Anesu was operating in the early game.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some Anesu vibes. Maybe it comes with being, you know,
so like
pastor, counselor, healer, that people just naturally gravitate towards that and are willing to be trusting of someone like that, which is, it's quite interesting because she's so cutthroat. You've seen it with how she literally snapped Sarah and reassured her that she was safe, knowing full well that, you know, the daggers are out. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely making for some very good gameplay. That's for sure.
I mean, look, the road of modern Survivor South Africa was built by a pastor who then rode the bus over it, right? So that's like, you know, yes! I think it's a good skill set.
That's literally what I thought when I first saw it. Because for me, Shannon, with this particular season, I didn't consume any preseason information about the cast. I just wanted a clean, sort of enjoyable Survivor experience like the common viewer. I think that allows you to get a sense, a clearer sense, you know, kind of unbiased of, okay, I don't want to have a preseason favorite or a pick. I just want to eat what they are giving me, you know, as production. So that was quite interesting for me. I literally, when I saw her, I thought, this is Verna all over again.
yeah, like if she does well, we're going to have, like, that's going to be the profession you have to lie about. Like, not being a poker player, not being a lawyer. I know everyone on your season lied about their profession, but like, if you are a pastor, you should lie about that straight up, because that's going to be seen as like a very, very successful, obviously, profession. It would, like, Verna did amazing. So we'll see where it goes for Shan. Obviously, early days. And I know that you, like, we were talking, again, a bit before the call, but you were saying, like, you love Shan and Evie, but you're worried that they are sticking out so much for good reasons, but it's, like, it is episode two.
So, yes, my early favorites in this game are Shan and Evie. I'm really enjoying their gameplay. They really seem to stand out head and shoulders above the rest of the cast at this point in time, and are just so good at integrating with everyone around them. And the most bizarre thing for me at the moment is that it appears as though everyone else playing with them is unaware of how well ingratiated they are with everyone else. I mean, you've got to have a unique set of skills to be, as in Shan's case, everyone's number one, and somehow not get that across, you know, and you kind of keep your fingers crossed that people don't eventually exchange notes, which is bound to happen post-merge. So I'm really, and as much as I'm enjoying how hard they're playing right now, I'm quite nervous for them in terms of the post-merge, because clearly they are the front runners. And at some point, the people around them will see that, you know, these are probably the people that we can't win against, certainly at this stage.
I definitely hear that. I mean, it is a short game. It is, you know, 26 days, no pure rounds. Like, if they can kind of get some power either through relationships or whatever power they can pick up along the way, they should hopefully be able to make it through. But I think I'm more worried for Shan, because structurally in these three tribe seasons, that middle tribe that comes in with not the most or the fewest numbers can be in trouble. You know, you think about, like, the beauty tribe on Cagayan, Calabar on Philippines. Like, I think that middle tribe, you want to have numbers, obviously, or as Evie is probably alluding to in this episode, like, it's okay to get decimated and then link up and be someone's numbers. So considering she's already, you know, put out a hand to Deshaun, and possibly those tribes could come together, I would be worried to be Uwa and Shan, who is such a clear threat on Uwa, come merge. So I could be worried for her. For Evie, I think being such a huge threat but coming from a decimated tribe might help her a lot. Like, I feel like maybe you aren't getting rid of the huge threat from who comes from nothing. You know, you're using that as a number, and she's already doing such good work to make herself really useful in that way. So I think, like, they're doing as good a job as possible in that situation of being this really likable threat. And for Evie, I mean, we should definitely have to talk about Yasa, obviously being the tribe that goes to the vote. But, like, the fact that she and Liana are in the center position in this, you know, hugely physical game in these tiny little tribes. Like, the fact that now I think that if it goes down to the two, they will be the last two. Not that Liana isn't hugely physical, but
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, but, like, Evie has even said, like, that, you know, it might, going tribe strong might just become pick off the woman. And that is often how it becomes. So the fact that they can be in the power position when the game is not set up for them, like they are running uphill, but they are doing it flawlessly.
Yes, Shannon, but I also think a lot of it came in terms of how they positioned themselves within the first vote.
Mm.
That's why that Abraham vote was so critical. And definitely how I appreciated the work that Evie had put in to protect Tiffany. In that mm-hmm. seems to be the story of the second episode too.
Yeah, and well, but yeah, because if she hadn't, I mean, and David yes. said in Voce said in Exits, I'll never get the David Voce thing. What we're calling him, we'll now never know because he went too early.
Yeah, but, can I call him David?
Yeah, Dave, I can't. Like, because anyway, he wasn't.
Can Voce I call him David?
Yeah, so that's okay. So David Voce, I don't know. In his ex interviews, he was saying that like the five of them. Really connected, and Abraham was like a consensus vote. But that set Evie up like so well to be like in the central position here. And they didn't like the guys, obviously Xander and David didn't really see the dynamics that were happening and were snowed a little bit in that because they put themselves on the back foot, and Evie, you know, the opposite of that, and Liana, I think, just like flawlessly put themselves right in the center position.
I was about to say that I really appreciate how she had the foresight in that first vote to ensure that, you know what, I need to set myself up in such a way that I can control the game moving forward. Whereas someone else or someone like a Tiffany who's basically playing sort of as long as it's not me is not really intentional in, okay, I'm going to deal with every tribal council as it comes. Whereas she's got the foresight to say, you know what, between her and Liana, they are now in a position where they are firmly controlling the tribe
mm-hmm.
Because they ensured that that first vote was favorable to their gameplay.
Yeah, they so set up the trend.
I'm really appreciating that. Yeah, that's it.
Like, if they don't do that and it doesn't go in a way, like, and the thing is, it's not accidental. It's not like, oh, this worked out. Like, they were saying it last week, if we don't get rid of Abraham now, it's going to become a strength thing. It's going to become vote out the women, even though, as I've said, Liana seems tremendously physical, but often that perception is how it becomes. So the fact that, especially Evie, just seems to have this, like, enormous short to middle to long term game foresight, is even saying, like, men can take the credit in a final tribal council, just setting up exactly what she wants is amazing for me to see. Like, I think she is an exceptional Survivor player. And that's why I want to ask you, I want to talk about this vote, because I've seen a lot of debate. A lot of people didn't like the decision, and I really liked it, so I'm here to defend it. Did you like the vote really? From Evie? Yeah, no, I mean, I loved it from Evie, but, like, I also trust Evie. Like, we'll talk about it, but I think a lot of people are saying, and I totally get that, like, she was swayed by Tiffany. David in his exit press seems to think that she, you know, she did go with what Tiffany wanted. It was a time thing because she really didn't have a lot of time after the mission. For me, like, I trust that Evie, like, sees every pathway in front of her, some of which have merit, some of which don't, and picked something that has rationale to her. Like, I trust in her because I think she's a phenomenal player.
I think she's a phenomenal player. I think it's quite, I'm trying to figure out if it was a case of production toying with us or whether Tiffany was an actual option to vote out during the course of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure about that or if it was definitively always going to be one of the boys. Because, I mean, who knows? Maybe she sees sort of her Woo or Philip in Tiffany. And, I mean, she did allude to that's probably the type of person that you do want to run with. And I have this very weird feeling about Tiffany possibly just like breaking it and making it right through to the end and being a Dario in the season. So I don't know. That's my prediction.
But Tiffany has this like beautiful story if she does get to the end. Like, I agree, like the way she's playing right now, I wasn't super high on it this episode, but like if she gets to the end, they all have amazing stories, but like her pre-Viva stuff, like, I don't know. She could get some votes, but I do agree. It seems like a pretty good person to sit next to on gameplay two episodes in,
yes. I was about to say, based on what we've been given so far, I think the chaotic, erratic sort of gameplay that's been on display is really sort of positioning her in that way. I do think that, though, between the boys, oh my goodness, either way, I think Evie's in Her social game is so phenomenal. It's quite a unique sort of game in that everybody trusts her. And not only does everyone trust her, she has that foresight that we were alluding to earlier, an insight into the game that she's able to keep shifting pieces and positioning them in such a way that pretty much she can work with any combination that she's been given. So I think that from that perspective, I'm not worried about her moving forward. I do think that we got a greater sense, certainly post-Tribal Council, or I would imagine that she had a conversation with Xander, you know, to let him know that that they were going to vote David off. So, again, that speaks to a social game. So he didn't look as shocked as he was. So I think that for me is her again positioning herself. I don't think that she's cut him off completely. I think that she has maintained the strength and integrity of their relationship despite having cut off his number one ally. So I think she's still positioned very well, even though I think Xander is the riskier person to let through at this point in time, just because of the risk factor of them possibly being in a position where it's very possible that should the other, you know, idols be found, that they can't vote him off. Mm-hmm. But even if that happens, she's already got a relationship that is honest and she's been upfront with him. So I don't think she's actually in as bad a position as everyone makes it out to be, even though she's cut him off at the knees.
Yeah, I think she's in an excellent position. I mean, we speak about that social game. Something that really hit for me was when she tells us in confessional, like, how much she doesn't want to be on the mission because she needs the time back at camp. And then she, like, gets off the boat and is, like, to Deshaun, like, I love being here with you. I was like, I need some of that false energy, like, in my morning meetings, maybe. Like, I need to be able to, like, pretend I want to be here. And so I thought, like, anyway, you could see through all her interactions that her social game is just on point. And that kind of, like, strategic, intentional social game that we talk about with someone like Inesu, I totally agree with that. Let's talk through the options, because I feel like the Tiffany option is one for me. Again, I agree with you. How much of it was an option? This was just, to me, strategically, structurally, could not even be on the table. I just want to dismiss it before we move on to, like, for me, Voce versus Xander, which is, like, the real thing.
What?
But you can't get rid of Tiffany, because if you get rid of Tiffany, and then Xander does get the idol and his votes back next week, he's going to get two votes back, his extra vote and his actual vote. He's going to get his idol. He and Voce will have enormous power. Now, I think I am doing Voce. I don't really know. What are you doing? Like,
Liana's gone.
Yeah, like, Liana's out.
You have
out.
No way to save her. Yeah.
She's gone. They have an idol to use. They have an extra vote to use. They're two people who are loaded. Liana's gone, so you're sacrificing Liana. So you can't get rid of Tiffany if your ultimate objective, which I believe Evie's is me and Liana will be the last two on this tribe. If it goes down to that, which it might. So the Tiffany move is just, to me, it's a non-starter.
100%.
So this is what I think is interesting. If Tiffany is spiraling, which she seemed to really start doing today, this is why I like the move to get rid of Voce. Because I think she's much closer to Xander, right? So we see a lot of trust in their relationship. Like, Evie literally said, Xander has so much trust in me. I saw it last week, I see it this week. I think she's closer to Xander than to Voce. So next week, you know, if Xander does have an idol, the person who's going home, I think, would be Tiffany. And I definitely want to talk through your theory, which I totally agree with, which is that she completely brought Xander into it, and I would totally agree with that. So if Xander has the idol, like, Tiffany's the one going home anyway, and, like, do you even want to work with Tiffany? You also have options. Like, to me, if you vote out Voce here, you have a really good middle ground that is, next week, if Tiffany kind of settles a little bit, it was just a one-day paranoia, you go through with the three if Xander doesn't have his idol, which is something that's completely transparent, which you'll have full control over, because you know whether other people have said the statement and you know whether he'll have a vote. So do you go with Tiffany there if she settles? If not, you're really close with Xander. He's someone you can use. He's someone whose tools or tricks in the bag you could possibly use at a swap. Like, you keep that relationship. I think if you get rid of Xander here, they seem definitely much less close to Voce, especially Liana, who seemed to have, like, no real connective tissue to Voce. So now you're basically guaranteeing it'll be the three of you. I think that in, like, the madness of today, I don't know that you want to guarantee that Tiffany's going to be your third. She might be, she probably could be, but like, if you can't vote her out now, right? Because it's going to be, then you're completely screwing Liana, but you can't put her on the ropes. If there's an idol, she's the one going home. I think she and Liana are fully protected in Evie and Liana. And if you can make that decision next time, who you want to go with between Vanda and Tiffany, she's given herself options, I feel, where I feel like if she kept Voce around, she would have been much more on like a narrow path.
I completely agree with you, Shannon. And I also think, just to add to that, she also further reestablishes her relationship with Tiffany in the process, because they basically mm-hmm. allowed her to appear as though she's dictating this particular vote. They gained nothing from it, certainly in Tiffany's eyes.
Yeah.
And that they trusted her enough and were willing to yeah. protect her. So yeah. it's a goodwill exercise. And an exercise, who knows, maybe that future investment will pay off when they do eventually need to cut her at the knees. And that she might just be loyal to them.
Yeah.
You know, these guys protected me when they didn't actually have to, when they could have done what they wanted without her vote, because they could have still voted David off without her when you look at the numbers. But I think it was a very good management of you know, the paranoia that comes with being, with feeling like you're in danger, which is it's quite interesting for me. Just on a side note, I mean, I've obviously had this conversation with some of my fellow castmates, and during a chat with Anesu, one of the things that she mentioned to me was that had she been at camp the day that we were going to tribal council, she would have just told Tyson not to tell me that I was in danger on that day. And purely because it would have prevented a whole series of other events and spiraling out of control. And that's something that anyone who feels in danger, it's inevitable, or shall I say, it takes a really strong mental player to kind of know that you're the likely person going home and try not to do anything about it and trust that your alliance is going to protect you in the moment. Mm. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, in terms of Tiffany, I mean, look, I understand she was spiraling. This was not a good episode for Tiffany in any regard. Because to me, this is, like, terrible for Tiffany, right? Because of all the reasons I'm saying it's good for Evie. I'm like, okay, well, Evie's fine if Xander has an idol. Tiffany's not. Like, and you know that you knew he didn't have an idol. I know Tiffany was confused about it, but, like, you should be wanting to flush. You, who's not a middle player, who's a fringe player who might go with his idol next time, like, you should really want to get rid of him here.
That's so bizarre. To be fair to her, though, she didn't get... I think had she read the parchment and they had... I mean, Evie probably saw it the day before, was it not?
Yeah.
And she probably needed to process the information, and it was like, oh my goodness, this is so simple. Which part of this is she not understanding? That he doesn't have an idol.
No, you knew that she did it because she kept saying, but he talked about the purple butterfly. Like, no one said purple ever. Like, that was a really funny way of broken telephone. Like, that was the purple monkey dishwasher that, like, it became about purple butterflies, like the Mandela effect of that. Like, there was never any purple anywhere in that parchment. I don't know what happened with that. But, like, she completely gave into paranoia, which maybe is fair. But, like, if anyone suffers from Voce going, a name she was throwing out, a conversation I do think she legitimately started, but then maybe took on its own agency with, you know, we're talking about what works for Evie. But, like, yeah, if Xander has an idol next time, goodbye to you, Tiffany.
She's
like,
the one going
yeah.
home.
And also, like, like the closeness between Evie and Xander, like, if Evie so chooses next time and you are continuing to spiral, you could go home. Like, I feel like this put her in such a dangerous position where if they keep Voce, what I'm saying about why that works for Evie, why that doesn't work for Evie, is because I feel like that kind of, that backs her into a corner of having to work with Tiffany to the three, which is great for
yeah,
Tiffany.
That's
so
true.
Like, for me, like, this was only terrible for Tiffany. Yeah, there was, like, very little upside, I felt, other than the fact that Xander might help them in a challenge, but they're just not doing well in challenges. So it's just that, like, paranoia and, like, lack of willingness to understand the fact that he just did not have an idol, and this is the time if you're on the fringe to get rid of him. But I feel like I agree with you that they, seeming to placate her, have made a really good social move there that can also be good for their strategic whims.
Exactly. So, yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Like, we got a lot of questions as well about, like, should they have split? A lot of people wanted to see the 2-1-1, and I'm here to say, as much as I love a 2-1-1, no, you can't split.
Was it necessary, though?
Well,
it really wasn't.
Like, you can't split because of things. Like, it's not necessary because he doesn't have an idol. And if he has an idol, he has a vote. So a 2-1-1 only works if Xander doesn't have a vote. If he has a vote, they'll win with an idol 2-1 anyway. So the only thing that makes this necessary is that he might have an idol. The only thing that makes it possible is that he doesn't have a vote, and those two things are mutually exclusive, if that makes sense. So they can't split, but, like, it does seem like
exactly.
The time... It's because the mechanism is so public that, like, that's the great thing and a terrible thing about Xander's quote-unquote advantage, that they know whether they can take him out. So this was really the time.
So how do you feel about him actually coming out and sort of just telling everyone about this? Because that was, for me, like, a complete no-no.
Really? Because I'm struggling with this because I want to talk about the beware advantage. I feel...
Okay.
I mean, it's not an advantage. I feel it's something that's so hard. Like, how... Like,
Can I tell you how I feel about the beware advantage? Have you ever seen on some of those game shows where you got to pick a box and, you know, you could win something massive, like a car or, you know?
Yes.
A jet ski or whatever, and you pick a box and you get
it's
a
like dog poo. That's what he got. Like a big steaming pile. That's what he got.
That is what disadvantage is.
Yeah, it's like if you go on The Price is Right and you're like, you can have a car or you can have, I don't know, illness to all of your family members, and he got just like something horrendous. Just like that's how I feel about the beware advantage in quotes.
And to make matters worse, I think the only way he could play himself out of this is if he actually went up to the other tribes and told them exactly where the advantage
is. Yeah, but no, okay, well, that's a question that I have about this, because... Where is the advantage on the other camps? Because it's not, like, we've seen this before. So, in Australian Survivor, they had such a fun twist, which was that each tribe's idol till the merge was buried at the other camp in an identifiable spot. I think it was by the well. So if that were true and it was like he got a clue in the tree and the clue told him it's 3 paces north of the well, he could go to the other tribes at a mission, at a challenge, like in some capacity, it would be a risk.
And then let them
know.
Yeah,
but like what would he say now? Like it's in a random tree on a random trail. We haven't seen where it's hidden. But like this is a huge issue that I have with it. Like he has no way to get himself out of the situation. He can't even yell on the map. Guys, there's an idol at this place because it's not an identifiable place. And I don't even know where they're hidden. But that just seems to me like a completely random tree on a completely random trail.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's a missed opportunity for sure from the show. Because it's fun to watch people try and get that information across, and he should absolutely have some way to difficultly get himself out of the situation, and he's just completely relying on other people.
I'm completely shocked that he hasn't tried to actually communicate with them in any other way as well. Just to, I suppose the only way that would have worked is if he had been selected to go on the trek again.
It's so hard.
And then he could have had that conversation authentically. I actually thought at some point that that's a conversation that Evie would delve in on the trek. But
yeah, it's the
yeah, so, it's a booby. It's such a booby trap.
This is like the worst prize ever. Like, this is okay, well, I'm going to talk about what he did in terms of, but like, I think the only way I can talk about it is if we like go back to the beginning and talk about this twist. Because I feel like he was misled. Like, I don't feel he played it great, but I also feel like it's not really his fault because he sees something that says, beware advantage, right? But only one part of that is true. Beware is true. Be very aware. Be the most aware ever. but it's not an advantage. So that feels like there's a duality there. Like, okay, it's bad and good. There's a binary. There's like a 50-50. But it's like, it's just terrible. And there's like no good part of that. So I feel like they shouldn't have called it that.
These guys have been rearing to go for nearly 2 years. I'm sure, like, in his mind, he was probably thinking, I'm going to get there. I'm going to play everything. I'm going to leave my heart on that island. And I'm going to grab every opportunity because that's probably the perspective I would have gone in there with. So it was such a trap. Although if I'm to talk about the traps that production has sort of thrown at the players, and I've been very shocked at this, but goodness gracious me, this season has been harsh, hey? From them not getting any rise to the story with the Flint to the conditions just look terrible. It's almost like production has gone out of its way to kind of show us people suffering. So that should have been his clue.
Yeah, production aren't your friends. They're not trying to help you here. Everything is bad here. This is a bad place.
I would have taken that as a cue that, you know what, they've been really harsh with everything else. So why on earth wouldn't they apply the same principle when it came to advantages and nuances in the game? So
I don't know. I think that's it's so hard to imagine that it could have been that bad. Like, I think I said last week, I thought that he would have like a strategic task or objective to complete in order to get an advantage, right? So something like, you know, when they make them go to the camp at night, the other camp, which I, you know, am not that interested in, but something like that, or something like having to say a really embarrassing public phrase at a multiple immunity challenges. So he does have a mission. He does have a scary mission that's going to draw attention to himself. Another thing that it could have been is like, okay, it's an idol, but it has some things that negate its power, like it needs to be activated in a cross-tribal way. And he has that.
Yeah.
Or it could be an idol where you have to give up something in the game, like your vote continuously, and it's that too. Like, it is crazy and completely out of balance for me that all three of those things are things that negate the power of his idol.
That's I was thinking exactly the same thing, that, you know, I know certainly I did this in my season where, okay, losing my vote if I'm safe, that's nothing. There's like zero risk in the process. But little did I know that the implication of that actually meant that that very vote that I didn't have was going to drive me to complete madness, you know.
Oh, God.
Such a way that I would self-destruct. And, So it's absolutely insane that he got a combination of those things in one sitting. And the fact that he is so vulnerable. And I think this is the key to what has made, you know, Evie's gameplay even more beautiful, is that when you take someone and they're so vulnerable in the game like he is at this point in time, and you say, listen, my guy, you're my number one. I'm going to take you under my wing. Don't worry about it. You know, if they come after you, they come after me. And that can build a sense of trust that can go way deep into the game. And I think, you know, she's going to reap the rewards for it. But it's incredible that he had something so harsh in just taking a single advantage that was a booby trap.
Advantage. I can't. Like, I can't with that. But I totally agree. I think Evie brought Xander into this You can tell by the way that he reacts to the vote. He's not blindsided in that. He says he feels bad. Like, he feels that he was a part of it, even though he didn't vote. Which is, again, that's on Evie making him feel that included, that he could feel bad for something he literally didn't do. Total credit to their social game there. But I feel like she definitely went to him and was like, look, you lost your vote. That was on you. We had a three, me, you, and Voce. And, like, at this point, I'm not putting me, you, and Leanne in a rock draw where we're voting for, they're voting for David, and we're voting for Tiffany. Like, that, so we're not doing that. Like, don't give me your extra vote. Because the one thing is, he can give his extra vote to an ally to vote for him. So that's maybe something he could have done. But she could say, like, look, you need all the votes you can get. Keep your vote. I just want to go on the tribe with this. It sucks, but, like, you lost your vote. We have few options. I've made sure it's not you. I think that's a big one. I think she can go to him and say, it was going to be you or Voce, and I stuck my neck out to make sure you're with me. Like, she becomes his conduit for sure to the yes. rest of the tribe. I believe she can come back, totally bond more with him, use him now. Either he doesn't have the I don't, he never gets it, something that she can transparently read by the public phrasing mechanism, or he yes. gets it and he can use it with her, because Evie is Xander's closest ally.
The worst part of it is that the cruelty of this advantage is that over and above that, everyone knows that you have an idol.
Yes.
So,
if or that you're not you are going to... very strange. One of the two, or both.
Well, you're very strange. Well, I really enjoyed the phrases. I thought that was particularly, you know, the whole "I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf." I love that.
I actually am. Why have the rules been so confusing this season? Like, I feel like we had so many questions about Shot in the Dark. I have questions about this. Like, so if they voted Xander out, because this was a big thing, does that nullify all the idols? Because then that's actually pretty tempting. But I would think not. Like, I would think that because he's activated, it continues on, or they rehide it and we start again. Like, I doubt that they're just like, no idols now because Xander's gone. But that would be tempting. And also, why don't we know that? Like, this should be well explained to us.
Okay, well, following traditional idol plays, or wouldn't they just simply replant it and then hope someone finds it? And then
no one on that tribe would ever take it again, though.
If you're Evie or any of the ladies in this point, at this point in time, you simply don't grab it because you know the contents, and it's just not worth it. It also, I suppose, I think it also depends on what Tafran tells the rest of his tribe about the conversation that he's had up his trek, to see how quickly that information spreads.
Well, this is something that's interesting about the beware advantage, quotes, because Xander is punished for finding it first, which is poor game design, because isn't it a good thing to find things? Like, that's what we want players to do. Now he has to wait the longest without a vote. He has to look the strangest saying the phrase first. He doesn't have any way of knowing, like, how Deshaun gets the information from Evie. Like, he's completely flying blind, and he gets completely punished just for finding it first, which everything in Modern Survivor has told him to do. Everything in Modern Survivor has made him want to find and open this thing, and then it's just like, womp, womp. Like, I feel like he got so hugely trolled by not really the show, but, like, 15 years of its history. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I suppose it's the way that production can get players to... production is looking at ways to always make sure that players are thinking on their feet, and I think that's a big one, because I mean, after 40 seasons, you can almost be you can almost get to a point where you can predict certain things, and definitely, I mean, I know, I don't know if I can call myself a super fan anymore,
having played
and having followed the trajectory of super fans on the show.
Exactly. That's like even more so. Flaming out early makes you a super fan. That's the thing. Was it worth it?
So, but it's that whole idea of how it can become so predictable if you know what's been employed in the past and what the likelihood of them employing certain things would be. So, on a balance of probabilities, having gone and grabbed that beware advantage, I certainly said I would have grabbed it. But it would have been with the thinking and the insight of the
advantage.
Previous 40 seasons.
Yeah, that there was...
But yes, like, and thought, what's the worst thing they could grab for me? My vote.
My
if
dignity?
I lose a vote for
they took away his dignity,
count.
Though, as well. because of the phrasing. They took away his votes, they took away his dignity, and they took away the idol he had found because it's not even activated. That's what they took from him in that moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The worst thing is grabbing an idol, thinking it's an idol, only to discover that it's actually not an idol.
They literally took everything from him. They everything he had, all his votes, his idol, that never even has been activated, maybe will never be activated, and his dignity. That's what he lost in that moment.
But literally, why would anyone on any of the other tribes, having known that information, want to go for that idol?
No, you shouldn't. So, because that's the thing is, I was thinking, like, it would really have been much more fair if he was allowed to read it and make a decision, but then no one ever would ever take it, which would then make it pointless. Then we would have an idolless season, which would be interesting, but no one would do that. So he's making the decision based on the duality of Beware Advantage, which was misled. Like, I think they should have called it Shot in the Dark. Like, they could have called the Shot in the Dark dice, like, the dice roll. Like, don't you think? Because then you'd look at it and you'd be like, oh, this is only if I'm, like, completely desperate. And that would be way more real, I feel like. That's what it was.
That's true.
Like, if they had done it, he'd be like, all right, for later, maybe if I really need it. But instead of calling it the Beware Advantage, he's like, all right, well, I'll get through the Beware to eventually get to the advantage, but I just can't see it. Like, I can't get through it for myself.
No, man, I think most players would not have that kind of self-discipline. I would guess about 90% of the players anyway would still want to.
They should not. Don't just
grab,
go
because you're
things.
Salivating at the thought of what could actually be inside, you okay. know? It's that,
I hear you.
It's a very rare thing to let go of an advantage.
This is what, like,
that you think you could be getting.
Yes, like when I was a kid, my mom said, like, don't talk to strangers. This is the advice I want to give to Survivor players. Don't just open random things in the woods just because they're there. Don't just open everything that's
I
there
love that.
Because it might be bad. Like clearly it can be. Because I think there is this, like, this way that we see the game. It's like, well, you have to go on the mission. You're there to play Survivor. You have to open the thing. You know what playing Survivor is? Like, making good choices. For me, leaving the thing, the moves you don't make, like, not going on the mission necessarily, like, making rational choices. This was something that came up a lot in Immunity Island. Like, you have to stay and play. You're there to play. I'm like, giving up and going, you go vote a tribal. Is that not playing? Like, you're there to play Survivor, like, make
That's
rational
exactly
choices.
Exactly. I was going to say also on a balance of probabilities, I mean, with the number of disadvantages that we've had in the seasons past, I don't think you can help me out here, Shannon. Historically, has there been something like this that a player could choose in this way? I think of the extortion advantage in Winners at War, but that was explicitly it being played by mm-hmm. Poverty on Tony. So Tony had no control over the implication of that. The same thing applies with the steal vote. You know, the player whose vote is being stolen has no say or any ability to prevent that from happening to them. So this is quite a unique sort of setup, particularly because I think the warning wasn't big enough, as you put it.
Yes.
Have caution signs and add it in, like, a big red.
Yeah, like, oh, imagine if it just said beware. Surely, like, people aren't opening that, right? Just beware. Like, yeah, I'm probably leaving this scary thing. It's interesting to think about disadvantages. Like, Jamal just grabbed a random piece of paper, and then I think it took away his vote. The extortion advantage, like, again, those are things that are played against you. The Jamal thing to me feels more similar to the show just being like, hey, you, person who thinks picking up a thing has always historically been great in the game, do you want to get enormously screwed over against your own will and to at no fault of your own? Like, that to me is the similarity. But I guess in this way, I would say what the show would say is a similarity of something like last week. Like, you take the risk for possible gain. So, like, when you see yes. something called Beware Advantage, like, the same way that they are, or even this week, like, risking their vote to possibly gain a vote, like, it's something that you have agency to do. Like, you see something that says Beware, you don't have to do it, and that is on Xander. I just feel it's misleading because I felt the name implied a duality that didn't exist, but I don't think the show would say that. I think the show would say, like, he could get an idol, and you'd be like, but at what cost, Jeff? At what cost? So I feel like, because it's weighted badly, it feels much more like the show just being like, tough luck, Xander, and screwing him over themselves. When it should feel much more like you made a strategic bet or a risk for possible gain if it was more even, it might feel like that. But that's not how it feels to us because it's so out of balance.
It's so out of balance, yeah.
So out of balance. Like, honestly, if this sinks his game, which it definitely could, it'll feel like he got taken out by production or like the monster of the season, which is what. And will that feel good? Like, it is unfortunate that happened to Xander.
Surprisingly, though, Shannon, I don't think it's going to sink his game. I think he's in a pretty safe spot, at least for one more tribal council. We don't know, assuming that there isn't a swap or a, you know, or anything that shakes up the way in which the tribes are structured at the moment. Because I think definitely if there is a swap, he's going to be in danger, just for the overwhelming perceived physical threat that he could be. And whether or not they have that knowledge about him and the idol is yet another thing. It's one of the things that I've always found so bizarre and strange in the game, though, that people target people because they have things or advantages in the game. I think that's something so random. Does it necessarily affect the way in which they're going to be playing the game? Does it affect where they are positioned in terms of the tribe in itself? I think it's very strange that people can target people just for the sake of it. I think the reasoning behind it, if it were more a case of, like I was alluding to earlier on, that, you know, if you don't get rid of him now, you run the risk that he's going to be safe for a couple more tribal councils if he's the type of person that you don't necessarily want to have around. I do think that Evie's reasoning behind targeting Xander initially just for having those advantages, it leaves a bit to be desired from my side.
Yeah, we saw a lot of this on the recent Australian Survivor season where Dani kept wanting to take out her allies because they were so threatening. And I was like, no, but you work with that. Like, they're your main allies.
But that's exactly it.
Yeah. Like, she took out Simon because Simon had two idols. It's like, and there's two of you. Like, it works for both of you. So I agree with that. Like, I think that if you're looking positively at her decision, like, she has so much control over that situation. Like, you know when and if it gets activated. If not, he is completely your puppet, then he has nothing, then he is completely relying on you in every single way. Like, that is a good ally for Evie to have, and if he gets the idol back, you're aware of that. He'll use that against Tiffany, who would be the presumptive next food in that situation anyway, who she might not want to work with anyway. And at a swap or a merge, like, it could help you because you're going to be down numbers. So I think if you can use that positively and actively to benefit you. And you know who can use that positively and actively? Like, Evie more than anyone. Like, I trust Evie
anyone
to be able
else
to control
and
that
just
situation.
So early in the game, Shannon, to be making those kind of decisions where are you going to be in lockstep with someone who's as paranoid as Tiffany is, when you could have the option that isn't out, you know, in a Xander, purely, like you said, with the elements that you can control and have a relationship that you trust, where he's, of course, the question I would imagine that Evie has at the back of her mind is, oh my goodness, if he can be this honest and open with me, I wonder how much else he's letting slip. You know, because that's always something that you have as a player at the back of your mind, that, well, this is good information, assuming that I'm the only person that knows it. But if there's anything I've learned from playing Survivor is that, my goodness, information travels very quickly across the island.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that, like, Evie is correctly reading that, like, the main trust that Xander has is with Evie. And, like.
No, definitely.
Because Evie had a really interesting confessional, and I feel like this is what's being missed when it goes to, well, they just bow to Tiffany, which is, again, a great thing for Tiffany to think, but not what I think is true. And the confessional was like, this is giving me second thoughts of who I want to work with in the game, and I know that Xander has so much trust in me. And I think that the way that the edit led us to believe that it was like, that made it feel like a Xander or Tiffany vote. That kind of set up that binary. But for me, that to me informs that third option that Evie ended up going with, which was, okay, give me second thoughts of who to work with. Let me not tie myself to Tiffany 100%. Let me keep it in someone that I'm pretty close with, and give options there. And if Xander has an idol, will kind of make my decision for me, and I'll move forward with those options because the way that Tiffany's acting right now, like I'm interested to see where it goes with Tiffany and how she kind of recovers from this kind of unfortunate day that she's had. But I need my options open from that, and I can't just shoehorn myself into only working with Tiffany. So that was a really interesting confessional to me. Like, I feel it's all about the disparity in closeness that I feel Evie has. I feel Voce least close with, although still a good relationship because she was aligned to absolutely everyone like Shan is. And then I feel, you know, maybe Xander in the middle and Tiffany closest, but that gap might be closing based on the way Tiffany's been acting and with all the trust that Xander is giving to Evie. So I totally see keeping in the people you're closest with and then just making decisions, knowing you and Liana are in a really good spot, and then just making decisions from there with all these really positive relationships. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really defend the vote more in terms of what Evie did, but I just really back her.
Shannon.
Yeah, she's strategically, or like, she knows what's up. She's not being bullied into anything, not bullied, but like swayed into anything against her will. Like, maybe, yeah, great for Tiffany to think that, but I completely trust the way that Evie sees the game and wants to play the game and the agency that she has in that.
Yeah, definitely. Really appreciating that. I think it says a lot for more of the trolls that are thinking that she caved in to bow to Tiffany's will, which is actually not the case. I suppose from an editing perspective, they couldn't actually have painted it out in more detail for us without giving away sort of who the vote off would have been. And that's just, you make the connection based on what the result was at Tribal Council.
Because there's stuff we've missed. Because obviously we've missed Evie going to Xander and having a conversation we assume has been had based on his reaction. So there's a lot more strategizing happening than what we've seen. Obviously there's a lot more going into those decisions, and all we can kind of take from is trying to take from that confessional without the show just giving away. Maybe Survivor South Africa would, but the show is not just going to give away that's what Evie wants to do and why. So if South Africa would give us all the information, then we wouldn't have to guess, and that would be great.
Right. Can I tell you something funny? That when I saw that whole Nasir confessional and him getting all that content, the hair at the back of my neck was like, he's going home today, God. Isn't he?
Don't even put it out there. don't even put it out there. I said to my husband, I'm like, look, it's so basic to love Nasir. Like, you know the show's manipulating you because he's so, so likable. They want you to care about him, and you can see them doing it. Like, you can see the wheels turning, and I don't even care. Like, I still love him so much.
I'm really enjoying him, hey.
Yeah. Nasir's got the Sia money, I think, is what is happening. Like, whatever happens with the season, Nasir is just like, you're like, I've only had Nasir for 5 minutes, but, like, I will not handle it if he goes home. So, yeah. I mean, he had a good episode, too. Can I say some positive things about the Beware Advantage at this point? I've got a tiny little section of my notes.
What are you talking about?
I've got a couple of positive things somehow. Somehow, after an hour of rage against the show.
Can I take a shot in the dark at what those positive things might be?
Yes, I love that. Yes, what do you think?
Could it be that it encourages intra-tribal communication?
Which
makes for interesting television.
No, that's a positive. This is a fun game. Let's try and like squeeze something out of this. I love that. What else do you have?
I'd probably say that and the phrases themselves. Got a little chuckle from everyone.
That was one. It's fun. It was fun TV. It was pretty hilarious. Like, I do have that on my list.
Yes. Yeah, those would be my shots.
Oh, that's all you got. I mean, I like, the one thing I really like about it is that it takes away from what I've been saying for so long. Like, for so long, I've been saying idols in US Survivor are like too overpowered. They're throwing off the balance of the game. They're leading to like homogenous alpha players always being empowered. They're too impactful. And I don't know why the show can't just hide fewer idols or give us pure rounds, because the only way that they have now try to solve that is by giving us idol nullifiers and now making idols actively bad, which is a take. It's out of balance, but I think I agree with the general energy, which is like, okay, well, let's not have idols decide the whole game. Let's make them harder to activate, harder to find, like just a more difficult thing in general. I think they went too far with it. Like, I think it's the monkey's paw of this, that it was like, they were like, okay, we'll make it doom whoever finds it without warning. I mean, it did say beware, but with like, you know, it should have had a bigger warning. It should have been in red, and it should have been underlined.
But Shannon, a simple solution to all your complaints about overpowered idols and whatnot is to simply not have them.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
I mean, waiting for a season where they would do that and you have players running around like headless chickens looking for stuff that's actually just not there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is it just a question of the game has just evolved too far beyond that? That
they never the expectation. Teresa, when they heard let's not have idols as impactful, instead of just not hiding the idols, they gave the idols and made you talk about butterflies. That's how far gone we are. We are past the point of no return. This is what no idols look like.
I'm still throwing that out in the Survivor universe.
No, this is what no idols
the
is.
Idea of having a season with no idols.
That could be this season. Like, that could be this season, because if no one else takes it, which they very well might, like, definitely on Luvu they might not because of what Deshaun knows, we won't have idols through the pre-emerge, but it won't just be in the way you would think. It would be because of butterflies and goats and broccoli, and that's and what broccoli. The postmodern era of Survivor is. It's like, we've come all the way around. Oh, like, postmodern Survivor doesn't have idols too? It's like, yeah, but not in the way you think. Not in the way you would think that would happen.
Yes.
We had to go through the butterflies to get... We had to emerge from our cocoon to be a butterfly that doesn't have idols, but just truly not in the way anyone could ever conceptualize 3 days ago. So...
Okay.
That's
so, of course, the way in which they've conceptualized it now in the pre-merge, I'm very curious to what the post-merge idol and what that might come with attached to it. So clearly nobody's going to go for that.
God, no one will ever go for an idol ever again. That might be what we get. That's it. No one will ever pick up a package from the woods ever again in Survivor. We solved idols.
So I in essence did get my wish. Hey?
Yeah, exactly. Idols are gone forever. No one wants that. No one trusts the show anymore.
Oh, no.
But like, I have to, like, you asked me about Xander revealing it all. And like, I'm at a loss with this because I feel like probably don't, right? But also, what is he meant to do? He's about to talk about butterflies at the challenge. He's not going to have a vote for God knows how long. And David did say that they just walked up on him on the trail reading the notes. So that part was... So, like, but, like, in a perfect world, if that doesn't happen, what do you think he should do with this information when he's been screwed by the show in this way?
Keep it to himself. This is the one no vote where he actually doesn't have to put a parchment in. So... there's always a way to evaluate how the numbers are working within the tribe to see how long you can get away with that. Because I think it's just too early, hey? Or alternatively, he should have communicated it with one person that he trusted. At the back of my mind, I imagine that would have been Evie, who went and told anyway. So
yeah.
So either way, he would have been screwed. But goodness gracious me, I would have kept that to myself.
Well, you did, right?
Like, well, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And you feel that you, like, so that was the decision? Because you just, like, badly didn't want anyone to know you didn't have a vote. Because as you're saying, it is, like, such a vulnerable position.
And you don't want anyone to know that you don't have a vote until you get to a point where there's an opportunity to make something happen. So, for instance, for me, the biggest thing was... I had the conversation with Anesu purely because we were looking at a way in which to split the votes within the tribe. So that would have been a factor, and you need to let people within your alliance know because it's related to a specific move and you're already in a position where you're going to tribal council. I think he should have just waited it out until he was in a position where he had to let them know.
Yeah.
And that's literally when you're in a position where people are throwing around ideas like, let's split votes and do that. And you know at the back of your mind that, ay, 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 what you're saying can't actually happen because of ABC. And even then,
I think
the fact that he let them read the parchment, to me is so bizarre.
That seemed to be an accident, though, based on the exit. Yeah. Like, based on the exit, they just did walk up and he was, like, reading the note. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have looked suspicious had he not.
I am obsessed with the fact, like, the idea of Anesu trying to split votes with you and you're like, ay, 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 I don't have a vote.
No, that's literally a conversation that we had. So I had to come out then and say, I don't have a vote. this is actually what happened.
I love that.
At Immunity Highland.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, it is a hard one. I think ideally, maybe you wait it out. I think what's hard with Xander is like his vote status is already in flux because they know that he risked it. How did that go? Do you have no votes or two votes? That's a lot. We're also in a tribe of five people, so your votes are like really imperative to how this is going. Like, I think the tiny tribes is hard. Like, it'll come out
soon. And that's the thing. And I think that's the beauty of how he ended up not being the guy going home today, because we would have been really upset with production had that been the case. And it would have been purely as a result of, you know, him being screwed.
Yeah.
By things beyond his control within the game. So I definitely think he's still vulnerable, but some of the best players are made when they're in that position where they've got nothing else but to trust the people around them. So, yeah, I really think if I was in his shoes, I would have waited it out.
Mm.
Although on the flip side, you know, when I look back on my season, I've thought about how differently it would have changed had I gotten back from Tribal Council and told my tribe exactly what happened at Immunity Island, which I actually did.
But you said you won?
No, I said I lost, and I lost my vote.
Right,
I
but you lost your vote, but you lost the first vote. Right.
Yes, but I had actually lost the second one.
Yes,
so I did tell the truth, but
yeah.
It was a lie of omission.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't say which vote. I lost all my votes. Every vote ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but I do wonder how that might have shaped things moving forward in terms of relationships and trust within the people around me. But of course, I felt too vulnerable at that point in time to allow people to have that information. Whereas I think Xander didn't feel vulnerable. He was in a strong position in his tribe, literally, until this happened. So he had already ingratiated himself quite well. He had a strong alliance and
I lost my vote. I don't want anyone to ever tell anyone on the show they lost their vote right now without going, ay, 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 I lost my vote. I love that. But I do agree. I think like you and Xander come in very different places where like you felt on the outs to the point where they sent you to Immunity Island to like the other tribe did to like safeguard that possible like dissension in Zamba, whereas like what Xander has been fully honest, and he was on chosen to go on a mission. Like there was social capital there. It's an interesting one because that vulnerability can be helpful, as we're saying with Evie. Like Evie might want to take Xander under her wing and be like, "You have nothing right now. You need me," and kind of create a sense of loyalty in that. Or it's something Evie can exploit. Because he has nothing. It's something that, because she knows everything about it, again, it seems seemingly by accident, but it is a tough spot, that she can make the decision either way. She'll know exactly what happens because it's so public. Like, that transparency does give her full control, but it might be control that helps Xander. Like, it might be control where she wants to work with that, with him going forward, with him either having tools that will help her or being so vulnerable that he needs her. And it's that kind of honesty that will build that relationship. But it does come from a foundation of already having such a trusting relationship.
Yes, of course, on the flip side, we don't get in this episode, I'm hoping we get this in episode 3, the idea of what Deshaun's reaction to all this information that he's been fed by Evie. And what his actual response is. So all we know is that she's gambled and kind of given away all this information, but we don't get a confessional or any information directly to the character to the camera in terms of what he's thinking about what he's hearing,
yes,
or what his response and reaction is to the person that he's gone on this trek with. I think that's a letdown.
I totally agree. I needed to hear.
Because
I mean, I wanted to see what would happen when Deshaun came back. Like, did he lie about getting an extra vote? Like, hopefully we get that at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I think that's also something that could play a big role in how Xander interprets his relationship with Evie and whether it should change and evolve to... Maybe he feels, well, you've broken trust with me if the information comes out, so I'm like done with you. Clearly, you're playing too hard. Or, you know, if that information ever reaches him. So I think that's quite an interesting dynamic. I'm guessing that it's one of those things that will never play out, because were that the case, I think production would have flagged it for us.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll start the episode with it, because they don't usually go back to winning tribes. It is only 42 minutes. Like, it might be that we just, that's how we open the next episode. But I do want to talk about this mission, because I do think, I loved how DeShawn approached it. I loved volunteering, but, like, not last week. Like, definitely let Danny be the guinea pig. It went well. You know, he protected his vote. He made some relationships. Like, all right, I can build on that. Now you go. And I felt like he, like, received that information with, like, a really good social game, really friendly, really open. And Evie, I love the way Evie did it, because it was, again, that amazing social game. You know, she gives up a lot, but she needs him more.
More Evie, please.
I mean, this was like the Evie episode. This was the episode.
Like, Evie.
Evie was all over this episode. Like, it barely existed without her.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't remember in my, well, I probably can. That was Winners at War, the extortion episode, where a single player dominated an episode to this extent. More Evie.
Yeah.
And just her doing everything right in the moment.
I love that you're coming with that. Because, like, yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but as we're saying, the vote got a lot of controversy around it, but we back it in terms of the way that Evie approached that and gave herself options. But I think that there was questions around how Evie approached the mission, because she's giving up so much without, you know, they said on overalls, without getting a lot in return. But, like, I felt that, like, she's coming in possibly on a decimated tribe. Like, I felt that she was getting something. She's getting that relationship, that connection.
She's getting a lifeline.
I think so.
For a possible swap. And that's very important. And you need to prove trust. I think it's critical that she was at least able to let them know what the tribe dynamics were. That's very important. And once they go to a challenge or whatever, and you can see that she's followed through with that, there's definitely a relationship that's been built, that's been tested through tribal council, and she's basically got a springboard from that and made it work. So how many times do we see people getting opportunities like that in the game and then not being able to utilize them fully, you know?
Mm.
So I think she did what she needed to do.
She understood
the purpose of the mission, which is really to an information exchange. And literally, you don't really get those kind of opportunities in the game of Survivor where you're with one other person without having to look over your back and you can speak freely. And I think she read DeShawn well. So, at least from what we've been given. You know, so I'm really keen to see that relationship develop later on in the season.
Yeah, I feel she got a lot out of it. It may not look like that because she doesn't leave with an extra vote the way DeShawn does and because she gave up so much information, but if it will help her in a relationship, I think that that is really good. Like, she's obviously going to protect her vote. As you said, like, she could have, I think, were we talking about this offline, or you were saying that Evie could have controlled the vote without even having a vote. And I would agree that Evie's social capital means that's true. But I definitely agree with protecting your vote in this small tribe, having that agency, and just being safe. And then you can go to DeShawn and say, like, I'm protecting, and you've given him this thing, this extra vote, which, again, it's just an extra vote. There's a lot of them flying around. It might be helpful. It hasn't ever been yet. But you've given him this
how
thing.
How you feel about the extra vote?
There's so many now. Like, maybe it'll work now, but it'll be because there was, like, 8 on, like, a 2-person tribe. And, like, that's what decided it. Me and my 5 extra votes and you and your 3 extra votes and I won. Yay for the extra vote. And you also lost your vote. Like, that's where it's becoming.
I think also coming now from someone who's played the game as well, I think what I commend her most for was not being greedy in the moment, because she obviously got an opportunity to chat to him and get a good reel and feel of the type of person DeShawn is. Someone like me would have tried to leave there with an extra vote at the end of the day. But she obviously must have assessed, based on the conversation that they had, that it's probably not going to come off well if she tries to make that play. So why not present it in such a way that, you know what, I want to build trust with you. I'm going to tell you everything. Not only that, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to empower you further in this game so that you know that I've got your back. So I really think that she played it well.
Yeah. So much to like here. The fact that we're getting confessionals about how the tribe's going to be decimated, and that's what's pushing this relationship. Like, the fact that Evie is thinking about the medium to long-term game in that way and the intentionality behind that, I love that. Drawing the bridge to Deshaun, being like, take the vote, making that social connection, really enjoyed that, as I've said. But then coming back, and it was very subtle, but it just really like spoke to me about how well I thought Evie was doing this episode when she goes, oh, I could read he was going to risk it, so I protect it. It's just like, she made it a social thing, but she didn't tell them that it was so social. I really like the subtlety of that.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so, so
subtle,
beautiful.
But brilliant.
It also gives you insight into the fact that she knows when to let everyone know everything, and she also knows when to withhold information.
Yes.
Which a lot of the Twitterati didn't actually pick up. I think when they criticized that she was oversharing information with Deshaun, it's very clear that she was well aware of what she wanted out in the open and what she didn't, and was able to control that in that moment. So, yeah, it was flawless.
I think that this is speaking to a theme for us, is that we trust Evie's agency. We trust her read. We trust that she's making decisions that she wants to make. You can disagree with them, but I don't think we were going to come in here and say, you know, that Evie was swayed by Tiffany and that Evie, you know, was just being so honest. I feel like there was an intentionality that we were reading in Evie where every decision, even if you felt it was too much, she was deciding to be that much. And when she was withholding, you could
100%.
Tell. So I think we were both 100%. Reading that measuredness in, even when it felt wrong to some other people, we agree with it. But like, we were really taking the rationale behind those decisions because we feel, and I totally do back that, she's very much in control of everything right now on her tribe, but also just in terms of her moves, her thinking, her intentionality for the game. Like, that's just not something that I doubt. So you can disagree with the move to take out Vojtova Xander. Xander might have some power. You can disagree with that, but I just don't think that it's something that she was kind of forced into, almost led into. Like, I see so much more agency in that.
She's got herself in the perfect position, honestly, just in terms of this whole idea that if you think about it, not a single person in her tribe can actually turn against her without endangering themselves. And that's ideally the kind of position you want to be in when you're playing Survivor. Is that, yes, you want people to like you. Yes, you want people to feel that they can protect you. But you want to be in such a good position that even if they thought to do it, they can't do it without endangering themselves in the process. And that's higher level gameplay.
I definitely agree with that. I also thought this move to tell Deshaun about the mechanism for the idol. I mean, you could even say like, she's like, you know, it's pretty risky. Like, good luck with that. Like, you know, emphasis on the beware, as we're saying. And like, possibly has she iced Xander out of ever getting the idol? Because that's something now Luvu might never take. And if that's so, then she really has Xander where she wants him. Like, I know that she thought Xander was going here and things changed and Tiffany started spiraling and her allegiance had started changing about who, like, what option she needed. But even keeping Xander now, it's quite possible that this never gets activated if Luvu at large, a tribe that has been, well, we don't really know the dynamics, but if Deshaun is going there and telling at least most of the people, like, if you find this, do not take it, she possibly eyes Xander out of ever getting this. And then he is more in need of her than ever because he has no vote for a very long time.
Make the other person dependent on you. Make sure you play so well that their survival in the game is dependent on them protecting you. It's classic. It's beautiful stuff to watch.
Did you have a theory of why Evie was chosen to go on the mission by Luvu?
I did not. Hey, that's so strange because it's obviously not them picking the weakest person.
Yeah.
In terms of.
Yep, that would be Tiffany.
Because then they would have gone for Tiffany. Well, perceived weakest person in any case. I guess if I were to guess, I'd probably go with when they had the initial trick.
Yeah.
And who was the first guy that
Xander went? Xander and Danny, yeah.
Danny, yes. That when Danny came and gave feedback, that he probably got a sense that Xander and Evie were in an alliance, or Xander had somehow allowed that to slip. So maybe they're already playing the game with the other guys. I know that's...
No, I love that. That's exactly what I had to read for. That's exactly what I thought. That was literally... I love that you also thought that. Like, because on know-it-alls, they're like, I wonder what this is. I'm like, for me, maybe. I'm like, is it crazy that possibly Xander
you
was
can't
talking?
Tell me that Stephen Fishback didn't think of that.
Hey, Stephen has like 45 minutes. You know, I sit here all day thinking about the show. You know, I've done know-it-alls. It's tough.
Literally what I thought in real time.
Okay.
So if that's the case, it means that they've already built an alliance as an extension of Xander. And who knows, maybe at the back of her mind, that's also what Evie has in mind, that, you know, moving forward with these guys, with him, is also benefiting her game in that way.
Yeah, I think that that's a distinct possibility for me, that Danny came back to Deshaun, who we imagine they're close because they did the water challenge together. So came back and is like, yeah, I was with Xander. He seems cool. He's aligned really tightly with Evie. Then Deshaun must have been shocked when Evie was like, it really looks like Xander's going to go. Wow, what happened there? But I do think that that might have been the thing where you're continuing on what used to happen with something like the Exile Alliance, which ironically Stephen was a part of, about like sending allies and kind of, you know, deepening this cross-tribal possible alliance or pool. So I think that's a possibility. What did you think about them using this again? I literally never thought I'd see those ship wheels again. And now is it like, is this happening every episode that we're getting this mechanism?
Oh, exactly the same one.
I know.
Yes, I thought that was strange. I thought that it was also odd that the cost would be exactly the same for exactly the same reward. I'm assuming that he got an extra vote and that was it. Surely, maybe they'll mix it up in the next episode.
I don't know.
But I reckon it's probably a prop that they still had.
Yeah. What, from are we going to get 1 year out of this?
That they've thrown in.
Do you know how much work it was to do that?
Storage space
in
Fiji where they just pull the stuff out. It explains why they couldn't film at home during COVID.
Yeah, they had those wheels, and they were, damn it, if they weren't going to use those wheels.
Yeah, that was big.
Because when Evie anticipated it and was like, hey, like, if it's the game again, like, you should risk your vote and I'll protect, and I was like, well, Evie, like, I appreciate you, you know, again, offering that hand, but, like, they're not going to do the exact same thing. And then they literally
How
did.
How could you assume that it's literally the same thing? And then it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, like, the fun of the game was, like, not, like, trying to read people in an unknowable situation of, like, what to do. Not, like, gaming it beforehand because they've already shown it. Are they going to do this every episode? Because then won't they just, every person will just be like, okay, well, we've been no, given the outer of protect. Like, what? How will this go? I don't know.
I refuse to believe that. I think it's going to be clearly where all the advantages in the game are going to be, sort of like an immunity island setup. So I imagine that as the game progresses, there will be different things up for grabs because that's why you would want to risk it, you know?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't trust the show the same way you do.
You don't.
I think we're getting the same wheel and the same dilemma and the same conversation about risking and protecting, which is
how
like,
is that even possible?
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, how would that? How would
and
that be
Jeff
entertaining?
Said he wouldn't be bothered by our tweets, so we can't even let him know what our thoughts are.
Yeah, at Jeff Probst, why is the wheel back? This is boring. You've taken away any of the intrigue in this. It was really great episode one. You've ruined it. Also, beware.
No, because the gamble's got to be big enough. I mean, surely, if I would like to think that if Evie went there, and based on the fact that I said she could have still manipulated the vote without her vote, and she saw something like a safety without power, why on earth would you let that go when you have the opportunity to grab it? Yes, or an idol.
Which is worth approximately 6 votes. So... That's the currency. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm completely on the same page. Like, no one is going to try and fool each other or get one over on each other for, like, such a small gain or loss. For me, like, what are you going to say? Like,
yeah.
All right, you risk it and I'm going to protect. Oh, no, I actually also risked it. Now we both lost our vote.
And at this point, in all likelihood, you know, Yasa will have the advantage because their numbers are dwindling. So it just makes more sense to protect the outcome of what happens there. And look at how that will impact possibly, you know, if you end up with a Denise Malcolm situation, which at this rate is quite possible, that you just make sure that you've aligned yourself and you protect the people that you want to eventually come onto your tribe.
Yeah. There's a lot of outs now. Literally the fact that they know exactly what it is and they didn't change it at all is probably the biggest one. So I don't see this being like some big place
to
betray.
Maybe they just might do that
for what?
Just because
like, for
they
why?
Wanted to dupe us and yeah. the past.
Yeah. I don't know. I was not pleased to see the exact same dilemma. I loved it last week. I thought it was so fun. We discussed it for days, you know, the different outcomes. And this one was just like, oh, they just discussed it before and just told each other exactly what to do in this like very easy yeah. way to collaborate in this way. And it was
but
totally
also,
collaborative and great.
The other thing about it, risking your vote, and this is something, I'm not sure if it came out in my post-Immunity Island process, is risking your vote if you are at the bottom of the pecking order like I was, is not really risking anything if you think
yeah.
you're in a tribe of 10 people and your single vote is not going to make a difference. That's why it's an easy decision to make. So, but they are sitting now at what, 4 people? Sure. And if the dynamics were any different, then it's something that people would seriously consider and would try and negotiate with the cross-tribal rep to try and protect themselves in the process. So I think it's heating up.
But the problem with that is that you can always protect yourself. Like, you alone can protect yourself, so you don't need anything from anyone else. And then someone else just might gain on that. Like, people aren't ever going to be like, good luck in there, like, let's not discuss it, and then you both risked and lost your vote. Like,
yeah.
you're either going to protect it and kind
Definitely
of offer that, possibly.
Goodwill makes more sense.
Yeah.
But again, I say kudos to her, hey? I would have been greedy even in that situation.
Okay.
And try to maneuver my way into an advantage.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't have.
Not for an extra vote, no.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course, not for an extra vote. I'm the chief capitalist when it comes to the game of Survivor. If you can get grab as much as you can all the time, anytime, if the opportunity arises, you'd rather have it in your hands than in someone else's.
I think the best way this could go for the show is that they collaborate. It's like, I'm not going to take an extra vote. You risk, or you know, and then it's like, it's not an extra, it's an idol, and then you're like, I'm gonna take the risk, or something like that, like something that changes it in the
yeah.
moment for them there, like sets up an expectation that you've collaborated on and then changes that expectation so that actions change, and then trying to read how the other player would approach that change in the game. That might be interesting, but yeah, I mean, the ship's wheels, it was good, you know, good job, guys. We saw it one time, we saw it two times, we're out, like we're done now.
But I'm pretty sure, you know, going up that mountain. Good heavens, looking at
right.
that footage, I thought to myself, like, they just keep upping the level of cruelty in this game.
Yeah. Xander had to go up that hill. He had to do the barrels. He's lost all his votes and his avid idol. Like, Xander is not having a good time right now.
This game is so incredibly cruel, but that's the thing for me, the idea of expanding that much energy. It's just, it's a lot, hey?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a lot.
I wouldn't make it up the hill.
But the players seem to have taken it in their stride, hey?
Yeah. No. In their hundreds of strides up that hill.
Hundreds of strides.
Crazy.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy if you're a JD and you're a pro athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny seems like he's a retired athlete as well. So
yeah.
I suppose it was nothing for them. But I would have just stood there and had a moment of looking at that mountain and thinking about all the rowing I had to do to Immunity Island. So anything requiring that much energy, that advantage better be good, and it better be better than an extrovert.
Agreed. Yeah, we better get a different game. If I was standing at the bottom of the hill, I'd be like, I'll just wait for the cable car. When's that coming? I'm not walking up that. When does my ride get here? I'll just ride for the production.
Good on them.
Yeah, I'll go in the helicopter that's clearly filming this. I wouldn't be walking. Can we talk about David/Voce a little bit? Because I feel so bad for a superfan who comes out there, you know, is third boot. I think I said it last week. I'm like, I think Voce is going to go next week, but it won't usually be his fault. I guess maybe his greatest sin was being the least close to Evie. But I felt bad for David/Voce.
I think what you're saying is so interesting, Shannon, because it just goes to show how important it is to make sure that you're constantly interacting with every single person on your tribe.
And to be fair, Voce was like in a key relationship with Evie, but like Evie's that close to everyone that it somehow was the least close to Evie.
Yeah, but also doing it in such a way that, you know, I think his cardinal sin actually was going after Tiffany and making her aware that he was coming after her. I think after that, her level of uneasiness around him was just like, okay, even if it's not a risky thing, if this person's going to keep coming after me, then I need to do something about it, because I know that if I can at least silence that voice, no one else is going to be looking at me or as persistently as he was. So it's, sure, I feel for him, hey, as a fellow superfan who went out prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nothing else he could have done when it's that few people in the tribe.
It's a tough one, because I think he even said at the exit that, like, you know, he had to put out a name and there were so few people there that I feel like, yeah, you just get cornered in that way. Like, maybe you can fade in a little more and not be as emphatic with the name when there's more people in the tribe, but I feel like that small tribe and some of the ways the relationships just broke down just didn't work out for him, and I don't put a lot of that on him. But I do want to talk about something that was like my favorite part of the episode that had to do with Voce, which was the fact that Jeff again brought up that he knew that 1/6 was 16.666666%.
Yes, I laughed at that. And I thought to myself, is this guy trying to show everyone how smart this guy is? He's already a neurosurgeon.
He's a neurosurgeon.
What the heck? Jeff, of course he's smart.
Jeff is impressed that he knows this like basic fraction. That's just half of 33.333. Like, I'm not a mathematician, but it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. Ironically, he is a brain surgeon.
It's a brain surgery. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. So I was like, geez, thanks, Jeff. Just put the target on my back. Make it bigger, you know, magnify it.
Jeff was just amazed by this. And it's like, Jeff, not only does he know what 1/6 is as a percentage, like, he can operate on your brain. He's a neurosurgeon. Why are you so impressed with this? That killed me. Even on the rewatch day, I was laughing so hard at how obsessed Jeff was with this, like, really, really meh thing from a neurosurgeon.
Like, yeah, he was giving me a throwback to, I think he said something to that effect about Yule in the past, you know, because he was also the guy working with numbers. So he has a knack for showing that off. What do you think of, okay, you're the one asking the questions, but I found it quite weird that Jeff was addressing us as the audience, hey, directly before tribal council.
It was terrible. It was like, we have so little time. Okay, is it so immature that I was dying laughing at Jeff losing his voice? I don't know why it was so funny, but just him saying like the iconic phrases, but with no voice, was just, you know, once the votes are read.
Really? You know, I barely noticed he lost his voice. Oh God, I think no, I've been staring for too long at his hair. I was looking at how wavy and long and healthy it looks, like he's going to advertise Pantene or something.
Yeah.
When you get to a point where the host is yeah, just trying to be in your face, I think, particularly because we've got no opening credits. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy about that.
They have no time. But yet they have time for Jeff to talk to us with no voice.
Exactly. That's where I was going to go. If they have time to allow Jeff to address us directly, they have time to show us the cast. Mm-hmm. With ancient voices playing in the background, surely.
I don't know if it's just my like roughly 300 days of lockdown right now that I just found Jeff losing his voice so funny to me. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I truly thought that was hilarious.
It could be just one of those things that he had been so out of practice, hey? That 2-year COVID break.
Yeah. Look, Jeff, I've done a lot of podcasts this month and my voice is hanging on. You have no excuse. Like, you keep going.
I was about to say, you do talking for a living. So you've done a lot of talking and you're still at it, hey? But the voice is an instrument.
It's tea.
So you've got to train it.
Mm. It's true. Yeah. True. What we learned with Jeff this episode. Should we touch on the other tribes in some capacity? I mean, we got very little.
Where are the other tribes?
I mean, everything I've had to say about Uwa, I've said. Shan has dominated in every capacity. She's Brad's number one. He's misreading her. She's JD's number one, I'm sure. She's Ricard's number one. They tell that to each other. And he confirms that to us. Like, wow. From the moments we got, mere moments, she's just continuing to kill it, I feel.
Yes. I think that was the post-tribal sort of, okay, we were expecting, I think the thing for me was that I was expecting to have a fallout for Shan post-tribal. Because Ricard, I mean, the fact that she got Ricard to vote for Sarah, who was his number one at some point, was he not? Am I missing something?
No, definitely. Like, and now she's his number one.
Usurping her position. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
As his number one is like, wow.
Agreed.
Like, all I can say is, wow.
Agreed.
Never mind the fact that she's everybody else's number one. Wow.
Yeah. For Luvu, the most interesting thing we got from them, other than the fact that Nasir is excellent, was actually in a secret scene. I don't know if you saw this. It was in Dalton's EW review, and I watched the secret scene, and it was really interesting because it gave more dynamic on Luvu than we've seen on the show.
Okay, I haven't seen the secret scene.
Okay, I'll let you know what it is, and it's weird, so, like, hang on for the ride. I'll let everyone know. Basically, Heather, who we've seen nothing from, who's, like, the stay-at-home mom, she said that she had a dream.
Oh, yes, the dream. Yes, I saw it. I did see it.
So I'll tell the listener, she said she had a dream that Sydney stole her torch. And Sydney's like, well, now you're kind of making me seem suspicious, but it was a dream. You know, like if you have a dream that like your partner has cheated on you and you get mad at them. But then it comes out that Heather made the dream up and is actually trying to put suspicion on Sydney, just some like weird vibes out there because she doesn't trust Sydney. And then Danny is like, someone's going home due to Dreamgate. It seems like it'd probably be Heather, although I doubt they'll ever go to a tribal council. But yeah, that seems like the main animosities between Sydney and Heather, and it's being exacerbated by fake dreams. And they make the secret scene only. That's how behind Luvu is right now. That even Dreamgate didn't make it to television.
I'm, like, so curious about what her motive is for going after Sydney, though. Is it just...
Personal feelings?
I didn't notice that she was the narrator for her tribe in this episode. Does that speak to sort of her positioning in the tribe and social awareness, I'm guessing?
Mm.
In which case, you don't go after the top dog. You try and befriend them and make sure that... You know, you kiss the ring, and they protect you.
Sydney seems really tight with Deshaun. Like, they're always together. So I feel like that might be a bit of a power couple in the, in the tribe. So, but I do think, like, I'll say right now, I really, really doubt that either of these tribes are ever going to a tribal council. Like, I said it last week, I'm like, I'm concerned that if they do reward and immunity together, that the physical gap will widen so much, which is what they did in this episode. For two tribes to win immunity and reward, and Yasa, who are already behind physically, still don't have a flint, and now the other two tribes can sit out one or two people. Like, I just don't see how this ever, the wheels have come off the cart for Yasa. Like, however many more tribal councils there are, I think they're going, And I don't see either I think that's why we see so little, because it's like, it's important to know the main characters. Yeah. It's important to know some key dynamics. But in terms of the actual dynamics of these tribes, it's much less important because it's just never going to play out again for Uwa and ever.
And you also get a sense of who they're not, whoever we're not hearing from. Mm. Yeah. You're worried about them making it through. I think one of my favorite pastimes, Shannon, is to kind of go through an episode and try to see if I can get a prediction from a nugget that production's inserted in there. If I can flag one, there was one in Immunity Island where I literally, I think in episode 3, I got a confessional where I announced the Zamba boot order, and it literally happened. In that order. But of course, I knew that. But for the casual viewer, it's always like they miss that completely unless you're doing a rewatch. So there was that whole moment with Deshaun and the fire making. Did you get that joke about him in the final four?
Yeah, he was like, I'm the one you want to go against.
Challenge. Yes. I was like, I wonder. If that's a bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah, because they love to foreshadow with fire, especially, I feel. So every time anyone makes fire, they're like, Final Four fire making. Like, I feel like the internet is like, that's a clear sign. But Deshaun did literally bring it up, which I thought was an interesting one. I don't know if it was meant to show like the difference between Deshaun and Asir, which was a bit of duality that we saw in the narrative of that tribe, or is literally like, he's going to lose a Final Four fire making challenge.
We'll pencil it in and we'll keep a watch out for it.
Yeah.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Should we get to the Chivy now that we've momentarily stopped in on the other tribes after talking about Evie for almost all of this entire podcast?
Okay, this is really hard.
Take it away, Jacob Saber Weinstein and MC Color.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 1, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1.
All right, Teresa, you were telling me pre-call, pre-podcast, that we had the same points last week, and I don't know if you're going in a similar direction to me. I'm going to let you go first, and I'm going to see how much we agree.
I don't think it's possible for us to go in the same direction this week. Can I give all 6 of my points to Evie?
That would really be in theme of the podcast. Unfortunately not, but Evie might get 6 points anyway today. But, yeah.
All right. So I'm going to start with Evie. I think clearly because of the theme of the podcast, and she's just played a phenomenal game in this episode and dominated it from beginning to end. Really enjoy watching her, rooting for her. Just love everything that she did in this episode. 2 points. Oh my goodness. And then I've got 3 people that I somehow have to figure out between the 3 of them.
I felt the same. Interested to see if they're the same 3.
Really? Should I tell you who that 3 is and then kind of make a call? I'm literally deciding this on the spot. Between Shan, Liana, and Nasir. I think I'm going to go with Shan on this one. I think she's also playing a phenomenal game. It may have been the first couple of minutes of the episode, but was able to control that last vote. And she was able to not get any kickback after it, you know, kind of get rid of Ricard's number one and usurp his number one's position. And really, I don't see her being in any danger anytime soon. So I'm going to give her 2. And then I think my 1 point, I think I'm going to give it to Liana. I think in as much as it was an episode that was very heavy.
heavy. And that's what it is. That's it. This was an heavy podcast and an heavy episode for sure.
I think definitely it did come across that they did have a lot of conversations together and that they were bouncing a lot of what to do off of each other. And in as much as she may have been the one, Evie may have been the one sort of with the greater sway power, I think they made the right call and they were in lockstep. So, and ultimately made the right decision. So I'm going to give it to Liana.
Mm-hmm. Actually, so I had two of the names and another name. I didn't have Shan in it. I loved your point that she did cover so well from really putting herself out there at that tribal council. It only came out with better connections, but I feel like I gave her 3 points last week mostly for how that went and was executed and set up, and that I think put her on the path to this episode. So I haven't given her points for it, but I feel like that's kind of all packaged in the 3 points and having won the chizzy from last week that I gave. So didn't include Shan in that, but I totally agree with all of your points and your names. I will give 3 points to Evie, obviously. She is amazing. I see this move as their own. I don't feel that it was at all influenced by I feel like Tiffany started the conversation, but I feel the wheel started turning and dynamics started changing, and then it was Evie's own agency that made the decision. I thought great long-term social gaming with Deshaun, creating that trust, just having, like, such a positive relationship with every single person that she's interacted with is incredible in that. I think we both agree that Xander was placated in that to the point where he feels so included in it that he feels bad. Xander, you have nothing to feel bad for. You didn't do anything. This was against your will. And to the point that she can bring him into the fact that he feels so included that he has guilt over it is an amazing social play. I feel the one thing you might say is that she gave a lot of Xander's information in the assumption that Xander would go, and then things changed again. We understand why they changed. I hope that doesn't come back to bite her. I feel that she could quite possibly, if anyone can, really cover for that. And could she go to Xander and say, I gave him information about the Beware Advantage to help you, you know, so he could find the idol. Yeah. I was trying to like
She's definitely going to manage that.
Yeah. I trust that this will be managed well. I will give 2 points to Liana. Again, the fact that Evie and Liana are at the center of this, I think a clear final two on this tribe, Evie being, I think, would be the last one remaining and can decide possibly between like a Xander and Liana down the line. But the fact that they're in the center when it doesn't really tend towards women in this tribe, in this game structure as has been vocalized to us, is amazing. I think Liana has a great spot as Evie's deputy. She's talked about how well they communicate strategically, clear top two in the tribe, and it was really all about the tribe and the vote in this episode. I will give a point to Deshaun. I really liked him volunteering to go. I think he received information really well. He received Evie's great social game with his own great reciprocal social game. He obviously got a lot of info out of it. I want to see how it goes and what he does with it, which we didn't get to see, but I really enjoyed what I did see from him. And I'll give an honorable mention to Nasir for clearly just being awesome. But maybe I need to see more of where that tribe goes. It feels like possibly he was on the outs and was brought in, but none of that's really been confirmed in any voting mechanisms and probably won't be for the foreseeable future. But I still think it's worth an honorable mention. So on a similar page.
I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. We were on a very similar page. So the current charts put Evie now winning the chizzy this week, obviously, on 9. We've got Shan now on 7. Xander is on 3, now Liana is on 3, Danny's on 1, and Deshaun is on 1. So those are the current charts, which Randy Newpool is so kindly creating the graphics for again this season. I tweet them out every week. Everyone check that out. So yeah, that's fun that we're doing that again.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And Teresa, I have one question left. I think we talked through a lot of it, but Adam on Twitter said, Immunity Island or not Prisoner's Dilemma Mountain? Now, having been to one that did take away all your votes but give you safety, but you didn't have to go on a massive hike, like, which one are you choosing here?
I had to go rowing for a day.
Did you? Was it that much rowing?
No, I'm joking. It's kind of been my running line that I had to row all the way. I think definitely I would go with Immunity Island purely because you're guaranteed safety, which that massive hike, the result at the end of the day doesn't even guarantee that you will have an advantage in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Although, unless if you count the social capital, social capital is an advantage in the game. So, of course, that only can be calculated in future of the game. So, yeah, it's a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking.
And there's no food and no fire and that sort of thing. And we got all of that with Immunity Island.
Yeah, I do think that's been gone a bit missing. Like, I really enjoy the cross-tribal aspect of it. I really enjoy those relationships being formed. Like, from a TV perspective, from a game perspective, I think that is great. I think, yeah, we talked a lot about what we don't like in terms of, like, them having to walk so much, in terms of them giving in now game-breaking decisions that have already been solved and that they can talk about. But what I do really enjoy is seeing these relationships come out of it. And I think it's been said, like, if you get something like Immunity Island or this random mountain that has no name, at least you get, like, a huge character focus. Like, we got that a lot from you in the premiere of Immunity Island. Like, whoever went to Immunity Island, especially early, it was like, let's find out about this player. And we get a lot from Deshaun here, even though he hasn't gone to Tribal Council. We got a lot from JD. But everyone who's gone there, we've seen a lot from them. So it's a good way to kind of spotlight the characters from a TV perspective and from a game perspective. Yeah, it could muddy the waters by relationships that come cross-tribe.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
The theme of this podcast is not just Evie, but is also, let's just, like, berate a twist for 2 hours and then be like, but this thing is kind of cool. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't lead with the compliments. I rant for an hour, but then I'm like, but also we should note, it's also fun in this way. Let's not disregard.
And man, it's good to have more Survivor. I'm eating it, enjoying every moment.
We've had a lot of Survivor, though. We've had a lot.
We have. We've had a lot of Survivor. But, at least you weren't me, because I watched a lot of Survivor during lockdown.
Yeah, I had a big
because
break.
We had that long wait. So,
yeah.
The fact that I watched that much Survivor and still love it and all the podcasts speaks to how freaking good this game is.
Yeah. I mean, I've covered 7 seasons this year. Your season, Australian Survivor, this season, and the 3 ranking seasons, and we did Champions. I'm not regretting it.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
having fun with
oh,
that.
Yes,
just saying that, like,
the...
yeah, 2021 has been a big year for me for Survivor. I've watched a lot of Survivor.
Oh, my goodness. You've watched a lot of Survivor.
Yeah.
But you are an expert in the arena, so.
Well, self-described. I just want to come in and yell about how the Beware advantage is not really an advantage, and that David is a neurosurgeon, Jeff, and you shouldn't be that impressed by this random stat. I just want to come in and get those feelings.
And make him do basic maths. Like, really?
Neurosurgeon. Doctor. In the medical field. Saves lives with his brain. Like, Jeff, do you understand that he can cut your head open and operate on your brain, and you're impressed right now that he knows that 1/6 is 16.66 recurring? Like, I don't understand what Jeff thinks neurosurgeons do. That's where I'm at with it.
It's completely bizarre, isn't it?
So weird.
No, I think he did it for the audience. He does a lot of that. I mean, he is addressing us directly. He's got the thick wavy hair now. He's losing his voice. He's shouting so loud. So there's a lot of things and a lot of knocks that Jeff is taking for us.
Jeff is going through it at the moment. But Teresa, I had such a good time breaking this down with you. I feel like we've spoke, 98% about Evie and all the other stuff. Like, we had a good time.
Right? Yeah. Oh, dear.
We're Evie fans, we're stans. I don't know if there's, like, a stan name yet.
Yes, we are. Solid.
We're Evie heavy people. That's it.
Yes. Evie heavy. Oh, it has that stack now.
Yeah, that's what it is. We caught on late, but I think we've made up for it.
Okay, sure.
But where can people find you on social media, Therese? So are you're tweeting about the show a little bit? Where can they follow your thoughts?
Do I even know my thoughts on off the top of my head? I'm Therese from Africa on Instagram, and I've recently gotten quite active on Twitter. So it's Therese from Africa on Twitter as well. No, it's not. My bad. What is my handle? I'm very new to this Twitter thing.
I will tag you in the tweet.
I had not done this pre-Survivor, so that tells you something. So it's at Teresa845883999. Well, that's the real me.
So many numbers. I will tag you. How many Teresas are there? Like, you needed to be like 8 millionth Teresa?
I have no idea if I actually did that or if it's one of those algorithms where it kept on rejecting my name. And then I just punched a whole lot of random numbers. Yeah, that happens a lot. Here I was thinking that I had a unique name, hey?
Oh, well. That's all
clearly
right.
Not.
People will find you. If they search Teresa, you'll come up.
Yes, I should have just gone Teresa Survivor, hey?
Yeah. I mean, you still can. You can change it if you want. I'm not trying to, like, lean too heavily on this. I mean, Rob always goes on about, like, people's apps and, like, Teresa with a ton of numbers. It could be improved. It could be better.
Yeah, so I'm a lot easier to find on Instagram. That's how you found me, Shannon.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'd go on Facebook. I don't know. We went the opposite way than I usually do. I usually go Twitter first and then kind of work my way through the channels. But, Teresa, yes. Thank you so much for coming on, and we had the best time. You can follow me. It's just at Shannon Gates. No numbers. Just that's it.
Boring.
Yeah, so boring. Just my name. Well, not even my name anymore. Just my maiden name. So again, I have like people in glass houses, but subscribe to the International Survivor Happy for all of this. Teresa, we have so many deep dives from your season. I'm just like experiencing it as if I was there.
I am so psyched to get to listen to your deep dive with Karen. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm sure it's going to blow my mind. Yeah. I was thrilled. The best thing about that season was really playing with people who really respect the game. And as a super fan, you want nothing more. So I definitely think you got a good pick of deep dives as well.
So Kieran is out. Chappie's Nicole Smash. Santini, I just spoke to. That's not out at the time of recording this, but should be out possibly when this is out. Tyson and Nesu are to come.
Santini, my roomie.
Yeah, so that's going to be... that was a really fun one. Not going to be. I already did it. And it was definitely worth a listen. We had a good time.
Yes, I'm going to have loads of... fun. I'm going to listen to all of them. Thank you so much for all that you do for the community, Shannon.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for coming on to talk about it with me.
Anytime, hey. Thanks for having me.
And I will say, next week I can tease that we'll have our first Australian Survivor contestant of the season on Survivor Global. I'll be talking to another pre-merge icon from this year, the great Simon Mee. Went out with two idols. We can talk about losing idols and losing votes, possibly.
That should be very exciting, hey?
Yeah, that's going to be a good time.
I do think you have a knack for picking the guests and there being a consistency in the show with that episode.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that foreshadowing that someone's going home with an idol?
Yeah, well, they'd have to first get an idol, which is proving extremely difficult, and then go out with it, which would be so painful. To go through all of that and then still go home with the idol.
The beware.
You take the beware advantage in quotes, you say all the things, you activate an idol, you have your vote. Got it. Xander's back. He's got his extra votes. He can do shot in the dark. He's back and he's empowered. Xander has his idol. And he goes home with I like Xander, but I want to see it now. Like, now I want to see it because he's just been through it. Like, it would be funny to me.
There's so many things that need to happen in the next 40 minutes, yeah. Hey?
Yeah. If we can get to that with Simon, then... so much would need to happen. At that point, I would just say I'm spoiled. Like, no one could get that so well. That to happen. Even I would say I was spoiled at that point to have such a good guess.
Well, you've been guessing it pretty well, so.
There you go. Not on purpose, we'll but see. It just ends up happening. So that should be a really fun time. I hope you guys will check that out. Thank you so much for listening now. Thank you to Scott Napier behind the scenes. Teresa, thank you so much again for being my guest and bringing all your great takes to this podcast. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians. 16 New Zealanders.
1
million pounds.
Million euro.
Million.
Try.
Adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.